Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hart will put the ball in play 94 feet away, running the baseline. He's going to put it in backcourt to Bledsoe over the midcourt line. Lets it fly, and the banker is no good. Ball game over. Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! 128-124 over the Pelicans, and the All-Star break has arrived.
It's Mark Grody on 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Didn't it feel like Chuck Swirsky right there was like punching everybody? Like, Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! Like, I was like, oh, man. Coming with the hard jabs. Love Chuck Swirsky. Great dancer. Great play-by-play, man. Bulls on break. Not on parade. No rage. They are on break. Yes, sir. So, Mark Grody with you until noon on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Bulls now. Kyle Long, CSI, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Ow! Like, it hurts. Whoop! The only person who I think has it absolutely spot on about the Chicago Bulls right now and where they are and maybe who they are and maybe where they might be going, that one person is the man from whom you will hear now, head coach Billy Donovan.
Billy, if we told you before the season you'd be 16 and 18 at the All-Star break, what do you think your reaction would have been?
Oh, I mean, I have no idea, Cody. I mean, obviously, we have a losing record right now. You know, I mean, I don't really look at it that way. I mean, the record to me is more about how we're playing and are we making progress. And I think this team has made incredible progress, you know, in my opinion, just being with them. And they've done a really, really good job. And I think maybe Sam asked me the other day about, you know, what I was grateful for. These guys have been phenomenal. But, you know, at the same point, too, we have a long way to go. And I'm trying to, you know, not have them be satisfied. And we need to keep trying to pull more out of each other. They need to pull more out of me. I got to pull more out of them. We just got to pull more out of each other. And there's more to give. And there's growth and there's an opportunity to improve and get better. And, you know, I don't know what I would have, you know, thought in that situation. It doesn't really make a difference because once we get out of the break, there's going to be a lot of games in a short period of time. And, you know, the one thing that's good about it is, you know, every team basically right now, for the most part, controls their destiny. You know, you're not in a situation where you sit there and say, well, you know, geez, if this team wins and this team loses, and this happens and this happens, maybe we can, you know, there's none of that right now. We just need to keep getting better and focus on our improvements on a daily basis. That's really all our focus needs to be right now. And then, you know what, you put everything you have into it. And then you, at the end of the year, you look and see where you're at. And, you know, you can, I think, feel good about the effort you put in, but certainly, I hope we can continue to get better because I still think there's room for improvement and growth in the team.
Yeah. See, the Bulls are – there's some perspective going on here from Billy Donovan. The Bulls are two games under 500. Guess what? Two games under 500 is not good. I think a lot of people right now are suffering from relative expectations, relative to what Jim Boylan offered, relative to what the Bulls have been the last couple of years. And – that means that there is a different, you know, overall picture, a rosier picture of what the Bulls are than what's actually going on, as in they're still not a good basketball team. They have a long way to go, and it's about development, and it's about, you know, as Billy Donovan said, I think some key parts there. It's about our own team and what's going on and where we are. They're not really looking up much right now. And I read some recent quotes from Bull, actually listened to some of the audio that we have, which some of which maybe we'll get to, but from the Bulls boss, Arturas Karnišovas. And the most important thing that he said was development is the number one thing with all of our players. I am not expecting the Bulls to go to the playoffs, and I don't think Arturas Karnišovas is either. Although there are some very credible people who disagree with me. Listen to Will Perdue, who is the analyst on NBC Sports Chicago, three-time champion with the Bulls, four times altogether if you count the Spurs. Hi, Dennis Rodman. Listen to what Will Perdue said on the Mully and Haw show from earlier this week.
What we have seen is the progress that this team has made is good, but we continue to kind of change the goalpost a little bit as this team gets better. The expectations change, and I love to hear it from Arturas. I love to hear it from Billy. So even though we know this season is still about evaluation, but I think we'll all agree this team is now ahead of where we thought they would be. And I think that they have changed their expectations as far as, you know, if this team doesn't get into the a playoff game, if this team doesn't get into the playoffs, then this season has been a disappointment, because I actually think that now is a reality and it needs to be an expectation, because as you heard Billy say, we still have to get better. We still have to pull more out of each other.
I disagree with Will Perdue, respectfully, of course. I don't think that a not making the playoffs would be a disappointment for this year. I think anything less than knowing what you have by the end of the season would be a disappointment. Like, they have to know what's up and they have to have a real plan going forward, because there was no expectation of that before this season started. But I think you need to start to know once this year is over. So I think Arturas Karnišovas, like, I don't think he cares whether or not the Bulls make the playoffs. I think it truly is, when they say it's about development and our own players and where we are at the end of the season, I think that's the truism about the Chicago Bulls. The NBA trade deadline, it's bearing down. It's March 25th. The only guy that I would not trade, I actually do have a guy that I wouldn't trade on the Bulls, and it's Zach LaVine. He is the only untouchable and that does include Patrick Williams. He's, at this point, I think Zach LaVine is a guy around whom you can build a championship contender. I'm convinced of that now. So I do put him down as an untouchable. And yes, I would trade Thad Young in a heartbeat for the right deal. And I know that there could be a lot of wrong deals. You don't just trade him for nothing to get rid of the guy. Thad Young is in the 14th year of his NBA life. And I think he'd be a classic sell high scenario, right? And there are lots of teams that are interested in him. And I get it. Like, I understand the leadership thing is real. The mentoring is real. He's second best player. That's real as well. But I think it's silly to not trade him based on that. It would only be silly to trade him if you were getting a bunch of nothing for him. He's not a guy that you get rid of for the sake of getting rid of, but my God, yes, you trade him. Sell high. The other side of this coin, though, comes from another guy who is extremely credible and who I love to read and listen to on the Score, like I did when he was on with Bernstein and Rahimi. He is the Athletic's Darnell Mabry, who said this about the possibility of trading Thad Young or moving guys at the deadline.
I think it's likely that they make a minor move. I don't think that we're going to see some blockbuster deal. And I think Arturas kind of said that without saying it yesterday. They want to try to win games. They want to evaluate this roster, these players, where they are, what they have. And if you move a guy like Thaddeus Young, I'm pretty sure you guys have talked about this ad nauseum, but that would just destroy so much progress that the Bulls have made this year. Zach LaVine is the best player on the roster, but Thad Young is the second best player this season. And if you move him, you're going to be destroying so much of the chemistry that he brings, not only with the second string, but when he mixes in with the first unit as well. And if the right deal comes along, look, you have to consider it, but it has to be the right deal in order to move someone so valuable and so integral to what this team is doing right now.
Yeah, and yeah, I just don't put as much stock in the progress that you've made this season as far as the win-loss record is concerned, as far as any of that is concerned. You know, it's about the development of these players. And if they are going to eventually attain some sort of organizational standard that sustains success, that they will eventually have to, and Arturas Karnišovas knows this, there eventually will have to be some sort of bold, unexpected move. Like, I asked the question yesterday to Stevie Sunshine Rosenblum. Like, when you look at this, unless you think this is the team right here as presently constructed, is the team going forward that is your core and is your team that is eventually going to be competing in the Eastern Conference Finals, if that's your, if that's what, if you think that that's the case, then okay, keep everybody and go with all the abstract ideas of leadership and Thad Young and the progress that you've made on the win-loss record. Absolutely. But is there anybody out there who thinks that this is going to be the manifestation of the Bulls that is going to get you to the promised land again? No, no. It'd be silly to say that. So, and, you know, as a result, it's silly to say you shouldn't break this up. And it could suck, and it could piss some guys off. You know, that Zach LaVine would probably be unhappy if the Bulls were to... There'd be a lot of unhappy players on the Bulls if they were to trade Thad Young, because it would stunt their win-loss record, probably, and their progress as far as win-loss is concerned. But this ain't the group that's going to win you your next title if the Bulls are to get to that point again. All right. So, oh, and by the way, BTW, out of tonight's All-Star game are a couple of the Philadelphia 76ers. As per Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, there will be no Joel Embiid, and there will be no Bobby Simmons in the All-Star game. I don't know if that means that Embiid will be out when the Bulls finally break their break and they are hosting Philadelphia on Friday, but Embiid is out. And yeah, that's the way the Bulls are on break until, they don't have another game until Friday when it will be the return, the rematch against Joel Embiid. So we'll see if Wendell Carter, we'll see if Billy Donovan decides to take the hit and throw a double team on Joel Embiid this time around. All right, when we return, let's get into Kyle Long. I think I figured something out about Kyle Long in listening to both of his interviews on The Score. Well, we'll get into it next. CSI Kyle Long next here on The Grody Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up? Mark Grody with you here on The Score. When I hear The Who, I think of Hub Arkish, and Hub and Arthur Arkish will be on The Score after me coming up at noon, so you know you're going to get a lot of great Chicago Bears talk. And just to clarify a little bit further here, did I say Bobby Simmons earlier? Because that's awesome if I did. I like that I made that mistake back to my DePaul roots, and I appreciate a texter for correcting me. The text from Adrian Wojnarowski, again, additional tests have returned positive for the coronavirus on Barber in contact with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, sources tell ESPN. The NBA is ruling out Embiid and Simmons for the All-Star game, sources tell ESPN. More from Adrian here. The NBA's worst nightmare in Atlanta has been an outbreak among the best players in the world. Embiid and Simmons didn't have contact with peers there. In the instance involving the two Sixer stars, players have been kept in contact tracing and quarantine for 7 days this season. So, and then one more tweet here, 19 minutes ago from Adrian Wojnarowski. At this late hour, there are no plans to replace Embiid and Simmons in the All-Star game, sources tell ESPN. So that's all interesting. Stay tuned. Again, the Bulls host Philadelphia on Friday, or do they? So very interesting. All right, it's been Kyle Long week on the Score. Back-to-back days, he was on with Parkins and Spiegel on Friday, then he was on with Zach Zaman yesterday. Both terrific interviews. And there was a lot there, but the thing that I got out of it was that I think Kyle Long very much wants to play football again. Not necessarily with the Bears, but it became pretty obvious to me that he wants to play. See if you agree with me. Let's start with the Parkins and Spiegel show. And he starts on this chat with these guys about, well, I'll let you listen, but he's talking about his weight. And I found that intriguing. Take a listen.
I think the Bears have to make the playoffs this year. And I think everybody knows that. And maybe even make the playoffs and win a game. That might be the thing that gets them an opportunity. But it's a brutal business. I mean, nobody survives in this league, dude. Nobody survives.
You know that firsthand, don't you?
Yeah, well, I'm not dead yet, but nobody survives the way they want to survive, I can say that.
Well, that's the thing, right? There are so few guys who get the John Elway send-off. It's good to hear that you're not dead yet, though, Kyle.
Yeah, well, you know, the old ticker's working. I'm out here in Arizona training. Just general health, feeling good. I lost a ton of weight last year, but I'm up at 310, 315. Who knows, man? Who knows?
Wait, at 310, 315, if you lost weight and now you're at 310, 315, that sounds like gaining weight.
I feel healthy. This is what my body tells me I should be, 310. So, you know, I'm going to stay around here. I don't want to say no to the body, you know?
I like it. It helps the ball fly further.
Yeah.
It helps the golf swing, I would imagine. Yeah. Right? Just bomb it off the tee.
I've been doing Muay Thai. I got kicked a bunch of times the other day. That's no fun. I think I'm not going to go back to that class.
Good for you.
Those guys are crazy. Those guys are nuts.
Do you want to play again? So, no, there is no offensive line ever in the history of offensive linemen who would go out of his way after playing at abnormal weights to gain weight after his career. Look at all the offensive, look at any offensive lineman ever. They all lose weight. A couple of guys that I am around a lot during the football season, Tom Thayer is one of those guys who has lost tons of weight. Jay Hilgenberg, look at any offensive lineman. Olin Krutz, because it's not a healthy weight to carry unless you're playing. So they all lose weight up to 310. That makes no sense unless you plan to play football again, or if, you know, you just get out of control with your diet. I mean, but it sounds like he made a decision to put on the weight, and there's no other reason to do that unless it's an athletic venture, no matter what he is saying right there. So, okay. Later on, Danny Parkins asks him about missing the game. Let's listen to that.
Did it make you miss it?
Oh, I miss it every day. I miss the guys.
That's what everyone says. They miss the locker room. They miss the guys. They don't miss waking up on Monday morning.
I miss belly laughing with my offensive linemen and, you know, lifting weights and just, you know, the team. It's a team. And I can't wait to see what the Bears do, because some lucky guy is going to show up and be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears or, you know, whoever it is that they make a move on. And he's going to show up, and he's going to have the same feelings that I'm discussing now. And I hope that they understand the importance of the moment while they're there, because there were times that I didn't.
All right. So, there, again, Kyle Long with Parkins and Spiegel. And I'm listening. And I'm like, he's playing. And so it never really got down to it. Terrific interview. Go back and listen on radio.com or on 670thescore.com. But then yesterday, I'm working out. I'm listening to Zach Zaidman doing the show, and he says he's got Kyle Long coming. I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's rerunning the Parkins and Spiegel. No, Kyle Long's back on the Score. Here he is. That he loves the Score. He loves Zach. He loves Parkins and Spiegel. So, and he said that to all those guys. So he goes on with Zach, and Zach comes through with the big home run. He's got the men on base. Parkins and Spiegel put the men on base, and now I think we get our proof here that Kyle Long wants to come back. Listen to Kyle Long with Zach Zaidman.
During this past season, because when you talk to guys who have retired, they'll always tell you there comes a point where you get that itch to get back in the game. Did you get that at any point during this past season?
Absolutely. It never goes away. I talk to my dad, I talk to my brother. They still have that love for the game. And you just have to be very honest with yourself. If you have the itch, am I able to go do this, or is this kind of a pipe dream, and do I need to figure out some other stuff to serve as my outlets? Yeah, I mean, I itch every day for football. Even sitting in the studio in a suit with my wonderful colleagues at CBS Sports, I kind of tell them during the break, hey, you know, I kind of wish I could hit somebody today. And it's not because I'm in a bad mood. It's just because I kind of enjoy it. And that'll never really go away. Being around the team, something you miss a great deal as well, Zach.
Do you get offers from teams? Do teams call you up and try to kind of take your temperature, so to speak?
Yeah, I had a few thermometers thrown at me this past season when I was not playing. And right now I'm putting myself in position to have all options on the table. I hate to use a Ryan Pace-ism, but, you know, we've got it all on the table. What does he say, Zach? He's everything's on the table.
Everything's on the table.
There you go. So I'm training. If I'm going to be in media next year, it'll be with CBS Sports. They've been a great employer. I've learned so much. I've got some great teammates there. Adam Schein, London Fletcher, Amy Trask, Jonathan Jones, and the whole gang. It's a lot of fun, but you know, you cannot replace football. So I'm going to do my due diligence, and I'd be remiss if I didn't, because I would have those regrets forever.
So you're not fully retired at this stage?
Yeah, I'm on vacation.
Boom! There it is! All options open. I'm on vacation. I'm in training. I'm 315 pounds. I miss it dearly. Oh, my God, does he want to come back and play football again? So good teamwork on the Score over 2 days, and then it took me to be the CSI investigator and figure it out and bring you the key parts. So full credit to Danny Parkins, Matt Spiegel, and Zach Zaidman, and we got to the bottom of this. That you know, I could have probably just texted Kyle Long and asked him if he's coming back, but this is way more fun. Next week, we'll look into whether or not Kyle Long wants to play baseball again. That's on next Sunday's show. So, Sean, just be ready. Sean, am I right? He's coming back, right, Sean Anderson?
I would say so. I'm maybe not coming back, but maybe he'll get to that point. We'll see who they bring in at quarterback, and maybe that entices him enough to, you know, put his body back on the line. Because I think that's
not with the Bears. I don't think he's coming back with the Bears. I think that ship has sailed. Like, that would just seem like an odd thing to occur at this point. But I think he would love to, if the situation is right, I think he'd love to hook up with an NFL team and see what he's got. I don't know if it's a great idea, though, because, like, he is getting out while the getting is good, while his body is in one piece, and he had a terrific NFL career. Like, I know he didn't get the big win, and as it were, like winning a Super Bowl. Maybe that's what drives him more than anything. But, you know, he's a Pro Bowl performer, made a lot of money. I mean, he didn't leave a lot behind. You know what I'm saying? Like, got out while the getting was good. So But it's interesting and fascinating. And I was convinced on Friday that he was coming back. And then we got the swish with Zach yesterday. One more thing, one more little piece of actual news that came from Kyle Long, in my opinion, anyway. Did I just say news, in my opinion? Yeah, I did. When he was on with Spiegel and Parkins, he talked about how things ended with the Bears.
What do you think? Because I've always said, and maybe I'm wrong, that like the players like Nagy, that he relates to them and holds them accountable and all of that. I know you had your issues when you left, but like, am I off on that in terms of, or are other guys looking at that side?
During the intro to this show, I heard Matt Nagy talking about a fast Friday, and I felt at home. I enjoyed playing for Matt. I didn't handle it the way I should. I didn't handle it like a professional at the end, and I was beat up and salty, and I have regrets about that. But I think there's no doubt. If you're healthy and you're performing well, you like everybody. When you're unhealthy or you're not performing the way you want to perform, or there's maybe some contract dispute, things get a little touchy.
Sure.
What do you regret, Kyle? Was it something that we know publicly, or something that happened privately that we don't even know?
About? I didn't bring positive energy towards the end. I was just so beat up, and I was a woe is me guy as opposed to what can I do to better the guys around me. And, you know, that's the nature of the business, but you live and you learn, right?
That's pretty cool, man. Like, Kyle Long was not speaking that way. He had kind of had the passive aggressive tone previous to that in some of his tweets and then some of his on-air appearances about what happened. I mean, he said something to the effect of, well, I'm not good enough to play for the Bears or something like that. You know taking a outside shot at either Matt Nagy or Ryan Pace. But there he is, admitting that he did not handle the situation well at the end. And so he's all cool, which is good, man. Because look, he is a Bear. You know, he spent his entire career with the Bears, but it's pretty clear to me that he would like his Bears career to continue to, or not his Bears career, but his football career to continue on. A couple of baseball things here. Jake Arrieta makes his first start of the spring today against Arizona. So be interesting to see what he is like, how it looks again in a Cubs uniform, what he's still got that we've kind of heard about it from a distance and seen it to some degree, but he's been injured and except for his first year with Philadelphia, largely ineffective. But he has been asked to be a pretty big part of the starting rotation for the Cubs this year. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in his couple of innings today. The Cubs yesterday beat Milwaukee 3-1. Shelby Miller looked decent. Two innings, couple hits, a run, struck out three. And your hitting hero of the day was the Cubs, I think, backup catcher this year, Austin Romine. 2-for-3, unless Miguel Amaya makes the big jump. We shall see. But Arrieta on the mound today for the Chicago Cubs. It'll be fun to, I mean, man, like I hope there is some sort of revival or return to something. You're never going to get Cy Young, Jake Arrieta again, just because if for nothing else, that the velocity is not there. So he's not going to be able to blow guys away and do crazy things with his pitches anymore. But it's going to be fascinating to follow what Jake Arrieta is, what he still has with the Cubs. As far as the White Sox are concerned, they play the Rockies today. Yesterday, the Sox got a 7-0 win over Reynaldo Lopez, 2 shutout innings. Garrett Crochet out of the bullpen, 1 inning, allowed a hit, and he's always there. Like, you know what the one constant Ray is with the White Sox? It's Lurie Garcia. He's always there. Lurie Garcia is always there. He homered yesterday. Omnipresent is Lurie Garcia. And it's good to see Luis Robert clubbing the baseball around again, 2 for 3 yesterday. I think he's hitting, you know, over 500 in the tiny sample size. But I'm not worried about Luis Robert, but last year he did have that terrible slump about 3/4 of the way through the shortened season. He was great for a while, and then he just couldn't hit anything. Like, he hit a, I think he probably had the worst slump of any of the White Sox hitters at one point last year, where it was just, he just looked all of a sudden like overmatched, but then he got it back on at the end of the season, and in the playoffs he started to look better. So, I mean, I just had that, like, that's stuck with me a little bit about Robert, the slump he had, and you know, the raw product is there, you know what I mean? Like, the raw material, I should say, it's all there. But yeah, now it's like you want to see it again. And you do want to see what does Luis Robert or any of these younger guys look like with what should be a 162 game season. So even though it's spring training, like, you gotta look at certain things and say what means something. And I do think that Luis Robert having a good spring is meaningful, or that he has a good spring is meaningful. And I think that, and I mentioned Jake Arrieta on the Cubs, because I think it's meaningful that he too shows that he has something, that he gets out of it injury-free, and that he's 100% healthy when the season starts for real for the Cubs. And then the last thing is Lurie Garcia. He is always there. When we return, an odd moment in the Blackhawks game from Sunday, and we'll talk a little bit about the Blackhawks next on The Grody Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I still have not had breakfast, by the way. The coffee has been great. 2 pots later. So, like I said, it's been hitting me just right. So once noon comes around, I think I'm going to make myself a nice omelet. I'm Mark Grody. After me, man. It keeps going. Arkish and Arkish. We got a Hub coming up. We got an Arthur. They are the Arkishes. They are on from noon to 4. I was just text messaged their lineup. They will have on their show today, again, from noon to 4 here on The Score, they will have Pat Finley at 12:20 talking Bears. At 1 o'clock, a guy from whom you heard on this show, too, some of his cuts from Lawrence Holmes' show, Brad Spielberger, a Pro Football Focus, will be on with Hub and Arthur. He's great. 2 o'clock, Maddie Lee will be talking about the Chicago Cubs. She's from NBC Sports Chicago. And then our guy, Rick Camp, at 3 o'clock, talking about the Chicago Bulls. So a jam-packed live local show with two of my favorite people, Hub and Arthur Arkishes. Can't wait to listen to those guys. I'm here for a little while longer, and the phone line's still open, too, if you'd like. 312-644-6767. You could text or call that way. I have largely adapted to the feel of no fans in the stands due to the pandemic. Like, it was really odd at first, but I think like a lot of you, it's you kind of get used to it. You never completely do, but you adapt to it, and it's like, okay, it is what it is for now. We also know that there is ultimately an end game, so you don't have to deal with it. So it's no longer really a focus, not as weird, not something we bring up a lot, but it crept back up for me on Friday night watching the Blackhawks game. The same day that defenseman Brent Seabrook retired. And there's Seabrook. He's at the game, an empty United Center. At the game, they pan the camera up in the luxury suites during a timeout, and there he is. And he's waving. He's got his mask on, and I think there's a couple people maybe in the background. I'm like, cue the 22,000 Blackhawks fans going crazy. He's like, nope. And see, all alone, one of the Blackhawks' great defenders of all time. And it's all for television and nothing else. And that was one time, and this is not a critique of NBC Sports Chicago or those who put the Blackhawks broadcast together. Of course, we all wanted to see Brent Seabrook, but it didn't work. You know, it was just like, I felt so empty. Like, and yeah, everybody stopped on the ice. Both teams, the Tampa Bay Lightning in this case, and the Blackhawks players stopped and they were hitting their sticks on the ice and clapping and showing their appreciation for even the referees. Like, that was cool. That was cool. Everybody's saluting in their own way, but not, like, especially with the Blackhawks, there is no team that has honored their players better through the years. You know, they've had a day for everybody than the Blackhawks. So this was the first time in a while where it was like, oh man, God, you really need the fans. And I know there will be a Brent Seabrook day when the 22,000 do return to United Center, but it felt empty and odd and it didn't work. You know, it was too bad. And yeah, Siebes will get his. I think it should be once fans are back next year or whenever, and you can get 22,000 in there and the anthem has full meaning again. That's another odd thing. They still do the anthem, but I guess people like watching that on TV, the anthem, the way they do it. That I think they should bring back. I think it should be Seabrook and John McDonough, because, you know, it's McDonough that, you know, had all these days and saluted these players and Marian Hossa and all of that. So give them both their day on the same day. Wouldn't that be perfect? I think that would be. So we shall see about that. The Blackhawks, it's been fun watching them play Tampa Bay. Like, they ain't the Blackhawks. They are not at the level of the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, I think that you could just look at the records. The Blackhawks right now 13-7-5. The Tampa Bay Lightning 16-4-2. And two very entertaining games so far against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the one the other night, I got to get my days straight. The shootout win, the one that they won, is that Friday? Yeah. It was breathtaking to watch that overtime. A bunch of two-on-ones. Patrick Kane and with a couple of breakaways. As my brother put it last night when I saw him, he said it right. The Blackhawks took Pat Foley to the brink in that overtime. Like, that was fun and intense and breathless and, like, just all of the, like, that was everything about hockey that Les Grobstein hates and that I love. That's not hockey, but it was fantastic. And Malcolm Subban was absolutely terrific in the overtime. Like, that was as entertaining an overtime and shootout period that you were going to see in a Blackhawks game. Like, if you can find that, and I'm sure you can, go back and just watch the overtime. Just watch the overtime. It is breathtaking, for sure. And it's pretty amazing, like, what Subban did in that game, especially at the end of the third period, where the Lightning were just absolutely relentless, and there's Subban stopping all sorts of stuff. I still don't know how good Malcolm Subban is, but he was terrific in that game, for sure. Good to see the Cat, Alex DeBrincat, with a couple of goals in that game. I think it's safe to say that Alex DeBrincat is back, right? I mean, he had a weird year last year where he wasn't bad, but it was one of those, like, he had the opposite of puck luck, puck bad luck, where a lot of his shots were going off goalposts and rerouted the wrong ways and things like that. Like, he just had bad luck. But DeBrincat and Kane, and one of his goals came on an absolute perfect pass from Patrick Kane. So it's good to see those two guys, and you always want to make Patrick Kane happy. You want to have him a line mate that can get him the puck or let him do what he needs to do, because we know Patrick Kane can be in his own world sometimes, which is good. But it was I'll call it a bang-bang goal, and Tampa Bay had been dominating that second period, and we're just coming off a power play, and then the Hawks with the surprise party goal, Kane to Cat, and then boom. Back to Brent Seabrook, too, because I haven't had really a chance to talk about Brent Seabrook. And he had a terrific Blackhawks career. And with defensemen, like, I want to feel like a sense of security with them. And there always was that sense of order with Brent Seabrook when he was out on the ice. I always trusted him when he had the puck. I also knew he was going to win board battles, that he was going to be bigger and stronger in many cases than the players against whom he was playing. I knew that he would do what Brent Seabrook, he would do whatever he had to do to restore order or to push the issue. That's what I liked about it. There was this reassuring feel with Brent Seabrook when he was in the prime of his playing career. And then I want to bring it to the idea of when I first heard people bringing up the idea of retiring his number, I was like, no, I don't know. Is Brent Seabrook probably a Hall of Famer, right? But, and the only reason I said no at first was because, like, eventually you're going to have to figure out where you draw the line with retiring all, because there's going to be a bunch of guys that from this era of Blackhawks hockey whose numbers you're going to want to retire, like Jonathan Toews, duh. Patrick King, double duh. Duncan Keith, of course. Corey Crawford, yes. Sharp, Patrick Sharp, I mean, like, isn't he equal to Brent Seabrook in different ways? Maybe not. But then I was like, all right, who cares? That's the greatest, one of the greatest eras of Chicago sports and Blackhawks history, certainly. So if the Blackhawks can afford to and they want to retire all of those numbers, then go for it. You know, like if you can do it and you can do it without compromising the amount of numbers that you have left, then go ahead and do it. Because I know the retiring jerseys probably means more to the fans than the player, I think, because it's like a cool ceremonial thing that we all debate and discuss and talk about the possibilities of. But I actually did a 24-hour flip-flop on that particular one. So, yeah, why not? Go ahead and, if you would like, go ahead and make that happen. I want to close the show with a couple of tweets here that I screenshot because I figured that they might be taken down eventually, and they came. Oh, here they are. Jose Canseco. Oh my God, this was the other day. Yes, Jose Canseco. For all you youngsters, he is Mr. 40-40. Jose Canseco, kind of a disgraced player at this point in time. You know, steroids, calling out other players about using steroids, and take this for what it's worth. It may not be true. I will give that disclaimer. But these tweets from Jose Canseco. All right. And I don't know why he's always got to be picking on his Bash brother, because, you know, Mark McGwire has been, you know, put through the ringer publicly already. But Jose Canseco tweets the following things. Mark McGwire corked his bat before every game. Every game. And then another tweet from Jose Canseco. Mark McGwire corked his bat. Oh, no, it's the same one. He tweeted it twice. My bad. The other tweet that he sent out, other than Mark McGwire corked his bat before every game, was, "It's time everyone knows the truth." So that's what, and you can imagine the responses he was getting. Like, you know, Canseco, because he's kind of become a snitch, and I don't even know if his snitching is credible in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, if I was McGwire, just be like, come on, consider the source at this point. However, Canseco was retweeted on his Mark McGwire corked his bat before every game 1,754 times. So there he comes. Every time Jose Canseco rises to our public eye, it is always something like this. And I am trying to figure out with him to what means, like, to what end is this going on? Jose, what do you want? What is it, Jose? Look, you were a 40-40 guy. You were an awesome player when you played, even if it was not, even if it was artificial. So I don't know, maybe just stop it. From the 469, before we go, you could do Seabrook and Chelios. Oh, yeah. Chelios was a number 7 as well. So, yeah, that would make sense. the hit on David Back. Was Seabrook, was he the one that made the hit on Backus? Because it was, wasn't it Duncan Keith who did the wakey wakey? Yeah, that makes sense, right? Wakey wakey, Backus. Am I getting my wakey wakey Backus right? I hope so. This has been a fun show. Thank you for listening. I certainly appreciate it. Thank you to Jarrett Payton for coming on. If you didn't hear Jarrett, pretty awesome stuff. He was great. Talked about Walter, talked a lot about the Bears and some of the film watching that Jarrett has done. 10 a.m. he was on, so you could rewind on the radio.com app or just find it somewhere. But Jarrett was great. Thank you to Sean Anderson. Great job of producing the show and collecting all the audio that I needed. So wonderful job. Solo work back in our downtown Chicago studios. And I can't wait to listen to the Arkishes. They are next. Bob Arkish and Arthur Arkish are next. They have a jam-packed show. Lots of Bears. They've got some Bulls. They've got baseball talk. They'll do it all until 4 o'clock. And I will talk to you, I don't know when. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see. But I'm Mark Grody. Have a great rest of your Sunday. And listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.